In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Those of you who are on Facebook have probably seen the pictures. Elisa and John Carmichael have a new granddaughter, Hazel Irene. She came last week as an early birthday present for Elisa, whose birthday was also this past week. The photos show Hazel being held and surrounded by her parents and big brothers and grandparents. There is joy radiating from all of their faces. This child is blessed to have a loving family who will give her what she needs to thrive. Because most of all, what we all need, all human beings, in order to thrive, beyond the basic needs of food and shelter and safety, what we need in order to thrive is love. We need to know that we are loved, that we are beloved. This child is blessed. This child is beloved. Beloved is the word that stands out in this story of Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan. John the Baptist had been calling people for some time to come to the river to repent of their sins and be baptized. And many people were following this wild man out into the wilderness to the edge of the river, coming to be baptized by John. Jesus did not have to be baptized for repentance of sins, but he chose to be baptized, to throw in his lot with all of us, to show his solidarity with the human race. Now, John, this wild man prophet, was very clear about his role in relation to Jesus. He was a prophet preparing the way for another order altogether. Jesus was a whole other level, John tells us. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Luke tells us that Jesus was baptized, and then he was praying, and the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a form that looked like a dove, that people could see. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." You are my Son, the Beloved. You are beloved. Today we celebrate the feast day of the baptism of Jesus. It is one of the four Sundays that are set apart in the Episcopal Church, particularly for baptism. And we don't have any baptisms today, but we will all renew our own baptismal covenant in a few minutes. Some of us can probably remember our own baptisms if we were older than about 4 years old. And some of us remember because our family shows us the photos and tells us stories about that day. Some of you have probably seen pictures of your parents and godparents, sometimes big brothers or sisters and grandparents, standing around the font, holding you as a baby, making promises on your behalf. When we are baptized, we are meant to hear those words, "You are beloved." So the four feast days that are set aside in our tradition, each one of them emphasizes a particular primary meaning of baptism. Baptism makes us part of the body of Christ, the church. And this is most apparent when we have baptism on the Feast of All Saints, and we remember the great cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints. In baptism also, we die and rise with Christ. We are given new life. And this is most apparent on Easter, when we celebrate Christ's resurrection. In baptism, we are anointed for ministry and given gifts of the Spirit. And this is most apparent when baptism happens on Pentecost, where we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. And finally, when we are baptized, we are adopted. We are adopted by God as children of God. And this day, the feast day of the baptism of Jesus, reminds us of this, where God's voice rings through the heavens, "You are my beloved Son." Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wrote about this adoption as children of God. He said, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God." In baptism, we are adopted as God's children. Now, many of you probably have family or friends, or maybe you yourself have gone through the process for adopting a child. And then you would know that this process is long and difficult and often painful. As the adoptive parent or parents wait for a child to become available, they are often disappointed over and over. Sometimes the adoptive parents do not know much about the health history of their child or how much care the child did or didn't receive in early life. Often adoptive parents receive children who have serious health issues. Sometimes they know this ahead of time, and sometimes they don't, physical or mental, because of the child's early life. It is a risk to adopt a child, a very holy risk. Have you ever thought that God is taking the ultimate risk in adopting all of us? The ultimate risk to be hurt. When we are baptized, there's no guarantee about how we are going to turn out. Some of us receive wonderful care and nurture in our life and in our life of faith, and some people do not. But some who receive wonderful care may not show the gifts of the Spirit in their lives as much as some who did not receive that care. It is a joint venture. God gives us a blessing. We are beloved. We are given gifts of the Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. Then it is up to us to continue to grow. We are all beloved by God, And this is the greatest gift we could ever receive. How much compassion and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness and joy do we give back to the world? As Paul writes in the letter to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we live out of our belovedness, we will be able to share God's love with others. God loves and cherishes every one of us more than Hazel Irene is loved and cherished by her parents and grandparents. More than that, God's love for us is boundless and it never ends. So Jesus, after his baptism, after he hears those words, "You are my beloved son," Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness, where he is tested. We will hear that story in a few weeks when Lent begins. Jesus lives his belovedness. Knowing that he is God's beloved gives him the strength and the courage to face great temptations. Knowing that he is beloved sustains him through great trials. You are God's beloved child, every one of you. May you live in that belovedness, knowing God, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.